Greetings once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. Well, it's been an eventful week in the field of natural health, and particularly with regard to natural health freedoms. All the news hasn't been good, but it's not too late for it to become good. On the last podcast, we did a special one kind of in the middle of the week to talk about the health freedom call to action due to the FDA's attempt to essentially take away our freedoms with regard to vitamins and supplements. And we're going to be talking more about that today because we have more specific information about that. As I mentioned during that particular podcast, we have until April the 30th, which is only 16 days or so away, to respond to the FDA in terms of public response to the legislation that they're trying to... It's not even really legislation. It's a finding. We don't even have representation with regard to it. But at any rate, the actual docket is docket number 2006D-0480. It is the draft guidance for industry on complementary and alternative medicine products and their regulation by the Food and Drug Administration. Now, if you actually read the guidance, this document they're talking about, it is very long and involved, 17 pages, and it goes into a lot of detail. Now, I'm going to take the time to actually read excerpts from some of this actual document so that you can hear what it is they are talking about. They ask the question in the beginning of the document, why are we issuing this guidance? And this is what they say. The term complementary and alternative medicine, which they abbreviate CAM, C-A-M, encompasses a wide array of healthcare practices, products, and therapies that are distinct from practices, products, and therapies used in, quote, conventional or allopathic medicine. Some forms of CAM, such as traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, have been practiced for centuries, whereas others, such as electrotherapy, are more recent in origin. In the United States, the practice of CAM has risen dramatically in recent years. In 1992, Congress established the Office of Unconventional Therapies, which later became the Office of Alternative Medicine, OAM, to explore unconventional medical practices, end quotes. In 1998, OAM became the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, NCCAM. The NCCAM is a center within the National Institutes of Health. The Institute of Medicine, in its book entitled Complementary and Alternative Medicine in the United States, states that more than one-third of American adults reported using some form of CAM, complementary alternative medicine, and that visits to CAM providers each year exceed those to primary care physicians. As the practice of CAM has increased in the United States, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, or WE, as it is in this document, have seen confusion as to whether certain products used in CAM, which convenience will be referred to as CAM products, are subject to regulation under the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, or the Act, or the Public Health Service Act, PHS Act. We have also seen an increase in the number of CAM products imported in the United States. Therefore, we are providing guidance as to when a CAM product is subject to the PHS Act. This guidance makes two fundamental points. First, depending on the CAM practice or therapy, a product used in a CAM therapy or practice may be subject to regulation as a biological product, cosmetic, drug, device, or food, including food additives and dietary supplements under the Act or the PHS Act. For example, the PHS Act defines biological product, and the Act defines, among other things, cosmetic device, dietary supplement, drug, as well as new drug or new animal drug, food, and food additive. These statutory definitions cover some CAM products. Second, neither the Act nor the PHS Act exempts CAM products from regulation. This means, for example, if a person decides to produce and sell raw vegetable juice for use in juice therapy to promote optimal health, that product is a food subject to the requirements for foods in the Act and the FDA regulations. And it goes on. And then it begins to try to define what is complementary medicine, what are biology-based practices. And here is a quote that I think you will find very interesting. According to NCCAM, the domain called biologically based practices includes, but is not limited to, botanicals, animal-derived extracts, vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids, proteins, prebiotics and probiotics, whole diets, and functional foods. Now, I know this is a lot to digest in terms of the legalese and the bureaucratic governmental talk, but let's pull back and talk about what this actually means. What they're saying, the FDA is trying to make the statement in a guidance, the form of a guidance, which is an official document that they have here, that foods are subject to FDA regulation. Now, let's take two steps back and let's talk about what the FDA was founded to do. Why was it initially set up? Well, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, was originally set up to make sure that our food was safe to eat. That is, that food that is spoiled, like meat that had gone bad, would not be sold. They also have jurisdiction, so to speak, over manufacturers that want to put food additives into foods, particularly without telling us that, and that those additives may be harmful. So in that sense, governmental oversight makes a certain amount of sense. With regard to drugs, they were given the mandate to make sure that drugs were first effective and second safe. Now, you could make the case that they have not done such a good job in that regard, given all the drugs that have been approved, particularly the statin drugs of late, the Vioxx and things along that line, that have proven not only not to be very effective, but also have proven not to be safe. They found out recently that the some of those drugs, like the Vioxx drugs, which actually I think I said statin, I think it's actually a NSAIDs is what I was trying to remember to say, but non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. There we go. I love these abbreviations, don't you? Anyway, the point is that they have found that those things can actually damage the heart. And there was a big news release and a lot of information about that that came out. Well, basically, when the FDA initially did the study, they botched it. They didn't find out that it caused heart damage, and so the drug was released on the market, and some of those drugs have actually been withdrawn from the market by the manufacturers because of the ensuing legal issues and publicity and so forth. So, we're not really talking about the fact that I believe that the FDA hasn't been doing such a tremendous job, but what we're talking about is that the FDA is now saying that instead of just the mandate that it has and with regard to keeping our food generally safe and keeping our drugs generally safe, they now want to be able to regulate food itself, meaning what you can and cannot eat. Now, let's go back and look at this list. It includes, but is not limited to, botanicals. Now, botanicals can be defined in any broad range, but for instance, Bach flower essences would fall into that area. Animal-derived extracts, vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids, proteins. Well, that pretty much covers most of the food we eat. Prebiotics and probiotics. So the probiotics that you might want to take could be regulated specifically by the FDA. Whole diets and functional foods. So, again, if you are into juicing, for instance, you have a juicer and you put raw vegetables into that juicer and you chop them up, well, those are functional foods. They're whole diet foods. They could be covered by this legislation, or actually, again, it's not legislation because it's not going before the legislature to be discussed, it is being simply released as a guidance by the FDA. Again, that to me is frustrating because it means we don't have very much say over it. We only have the period that they've given us to respond in terms of public response to this guidance. So, again, frustrating. But let's keep reading here. For example, a botanical product, this is a quote from the guidance, a botanical product intended for use in treating a disease would generally be regulated as a drug. A botanical product taken by mouth labeled a dietary supplement and intended for use to affect the structure or function of the body would generally be regulated as a dietary supplement. A raw or dried botanical intended for use as an ingredient to flavor food would generally be regulated as a food or a food additive depending on whether the botanical is generally recognized as safe for the intended use in food. And a lotion containing botanical ingredients and intended for use in moisturizing the skin would generally be regulated as a cosmetic. So basically what they're saying is some of these natural essences that you have been potentially using in alternative health care could now be regulated, or if seen to be in some way harmful, banned by the FDA. Now they go on to talk about energy medicine. They go on to talk about manipulative and body practices, such as osteopathic manipulation, massage therapy, reflexology. They name several other various techniques. Mind-body medicine they get into. Whole medical systems. And it goes on and on. There's just a long, long list of all the things that they want to see covered in this guidance. It is so broad and so far-ranging that there is actually an article, and this one I think will amaze you, because there are some that say, well, okay, I don't use alternative therapies and health care and things along that line, so it won't impact me. Well, there may be some of you that aren't using alternative health care, but what about religious freedoms? Believe it or not, this particular guidance would also include practicing medicine, quote unquote, by using, for instance, if you're Catholic, holy water. It could be regulated as a drug. Crackers and grape juice used at communion could be regulated as a drug. You'd say, that's crazy. No, it is listed as a potential within the guidance if you read it closely. Now, it says prayer cloths could be regulated as medical devices that would require FDA approval before being used. In fact, any object, artifact, or religious implement used in church services could be subject to FDA regulation and essentially regulated out of existence. Now, I know that sounds crazy. It sounds hard to believe, but the new FDA guidelines are so broadly written that they actually can impact some of these practices. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want the government involved in either religious practices or in alternative medicine. We have the right, and as I've said time and time again on this podcast, you are the person most responsible for your personal health. It is not up to the government. It is not up to even your doctor. They are certainly there to advise you and to help you and give you the benefit of their knowledge. But you are the person most responsible for your health. It's your decision what drug you take or don't take, or what practice you use or do not use. And so you are the one, ultimately, that is responsible. But what this FDA guidance would do is take away some of your rights to make those kinds of decisions. Now, let me give you a really good example of this. There is a similar set of rules and guidelines that are in use in England that are very strict. And in England, there was a situation where a woman had a 500 milligram vitamin C tablet. Basically had a bottle of 500 milligram vitamin C tablets. Those tablets were confiscated from her, and she was put in jail because she had 500 milligrams of vitamin C. You might say, why in the world would that happen? Well, because they determined in England, under the guidelines they had, that 500 milligrams was too strong vitamin C to take. Which, of course, is crazy. No matter how you look at it, that is silly. Vitamin C is perfectly safe. It is a vitamin. It is actually a food, a nutrient. Now, for instance, Dr. Linus Pauling encouraged the use of orthomolecular medical intervention in the case of people who were, for instance, fighting heart disease. And he gave mega doses of vitamin C. He recommends for most people to take 3 grams of vitamin C per day. 3 grams is 3,000 milligrams. Now let's think about that. Dr. Linus Pauling made the statement that we should be taking 3 grams or 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. This lady in England was arrested for having 500 milligrams of vitamin C. I mean, what would they do with Dr. Pauling? Throw him under the jail? See, this is how crazy this has gotten. It would be illegal under these new restrictions, for instance, to even have a vitamin C tablet that is a 1 gram tablet. Now, I have a bottle at home of vitamin C, and they are 1 gram tablets, and you take 3 of them, you've got 3 grams or 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Absolutely no problem with that, nothing wrong with that, won't hurt you whatsoever, and is very protective of the heart. Yet, you would not be able to do that with this kind of regulation. So that's why I want to bring it to your attention. Now, you say, okay, what do I do? I'm convinced. What do I do? Well, go to my article, Why Would the FDA Ban or Regulate Supplements? Read that article in detail, and then note 2 links. There is a link that says, click here to send a message to the FDA. That will allow you to send an email message worded with your own words directly to the FDA telling them, keep your hands off my supplements, or whatever it is you would like to say. Another very effective thing you can do is to write an actual physical letter, or as we call it in the computer world, snail mail. Send a letter to the Food and Drug Administration. I have their address right there in the blog, Food and Drug Administration, 1401 Rockville Pike, Suite 200N, Rockville, Maryland, 20852-1448. Compose a letter, send it to them saying, again, do not regulate vitamins, supplements, and alternative medicine. And, you know, every letter, every single letter they get counts as thousands, because they assume, you know, that if somebody takes the time to write a letter, there's probably thousands of people that didn't take the time to write the letter. But I would encourage you to do this. Take the time to sit down and write out a letter to the FDA opposing their new guidance, which seeks to regulate supplements. The other thing is, every health food store, which there seems to be one on nearly every corner in every city, every health food store ought to be just up in arms over this, because literally their business could dry up and go away if this regulation actually ends up as bad as the legislation that is going on in England. There are certain vitamins, supplements, minerals, things that you would buy from a health food store to benefit your own personal health that would no longer be allowed once the government gets a hold of it. Now, you might say, well, why is this even an issue? Well, as I say in my article here, Why Would the FDA Ban or Regulate Supplements? There's an old saying, follow the money. Big pharmaceutical companies develop drugs to fight disease. At least that's supposedly what they're doing. Then they sell it via doctors to consumers. If a consumer finds a readily available vitamin, mineral, herb, or supplement that is just as effective, if not more so, than the drugs, but without the harmful side effects that always come with drugs. Now let me ask you this plain question. Have you ever seen a drug that did not have a list in fine print of side effects? I guarantee you, you probably haven't. But a natural food, vitamin, mineral, or herb does not have side effects. It is natural. It is a food. And so, what would the public choose? Something that is beneficial and not harmful, or something that may possibly be beneficial but is definitely harmful and has side effects? Well, they wouldn't be able to sell very much, would they? So wouldn't it make sense for the lobbyist for Big Pharma to try to manipulate the government bureaucracy, if you will, to protect Big Pharma interests, to protect that drug trade that is going on in the country? You know, keep the doctors selling the drugs to the people who keep paying the money to take the drugs that end up harming them, to get them back to the doctor to get the drugs, and it's a vicious cycle. If you take something that guarantees to cause a side effect that makes you sick, you get sicker, you go back to the doctor, you get more drugs, you get sicker, you go back to the doctor, you get more drugs, you get sicker, and finally you die, and then they move on to the next person and they get money from them. Or you take control of your own health, you do what is natural to do, you live life as God intended it, and you are healthy. Simple choices, but one has a profit motive on the part of big pharmaceutical industries that are in business. Their whole business is to sell drugs. If they didn't do that, they would not be in business. They would not be responsible to their stockholders, and so that is their primary responsibility. It is not their primary responsibility to cure disease. It is not their primary responsibility to be, you know, these beneficial organizations that are out there trying to rid the world of cancer or whatever. That's not really their purpose. Their purpose is to make money, just like people that build cars to make money. They're not strictly in the business to just provide you with transportation. They're there to make money. So you've got to follow the money. You've got to see what's the motivation. And if they can work the system to regulate out of existence natural, inexpensive, widely available supplements, vitamins, and alternative therapies, so much the better as far as they're concerned. So again, unless we stand up and take a stand, then we're going to see our health freedoms eroded further and further and further. Now, along these lines, there is a bill that we have worked toward in North Carolina. If you're in the North Carolina area, House Bill 1358. This is a bill that is designed to support your health freedom. Now, this bill basically says there are complementary and alternative forms of health care, and we should be free to make choices for ourselves for health care. Let me read you part of this bill. North Carolina residents make a conscious choice in seeking complementary and alternative health care practices for their health care. Their concern is to have continued and improved access to these services and the availability of to practitioners of homeopathy, naturopathy, herbalism, and other alternative healing modalities. Therefore, by establishing this act, the General Assembly intends to remove the restriction on and facilitate access to North Carolina residents to complementary and alternative health care practitioners who are providing health care services not currently covered by existing medical licensing laws. And it goes on and talks about some of the practices and what they are and so forth. This is a bill that has just been introduced in the North Carolina General Assembly this year's session, 2007. And it is House Bill 1358. I would encourage you to send email, send letters, call on the phone your legislators in North Carolina, and get them to vote for House Bill 1358. So we have two action points. One is to promote in North Carolina House Bill 1358. One is to try to make sure that the FDA does not regulate away our food supplements and alternative health care practices. So, there you go. I know that's kind of a bit of a soapbox today, but I wanted to give you this information. Now, we do have one other article from the blog, and that is that high sugar intake has been linked to cancer in recent studies. Now, you know that I'm constantly harping on the use of pure white refined sugar. I call it metabolic poison. And, you know, you talk about getting something past the FDA. Sugar's been around a very long time, but I often wonder if sugar were coming out as a brand new food additive or whatever, and it went before the FDA, would it even pass? Because it has such a dramatic effect on the body. It has a dramatic effect on mood. You've heard of a sugar high. And then about an hour or two later after eating a lot of sugar, you end up with a sugar low. So it affects your emotions. Then it affects your body. If you are someone who is subject to blood sugar swings, or maybe are suffering from what's called Syndrome X, which is pre-diabetic in nature, you eat a lot of sugar and boom, it feels like your body is just vibrating, and just an intense reaction that occurs in your body. And then gradually as it slowly the body tries to deal with that influx of huge amounts of sugar, then you find yourself losing energy and getting very down and very low and draggy. All of these kinds of effects come from pure refined white sugar. Now, there are sugars present in things like apples and bananas. Those are natural fruit sugars. Those can be metabolized very readily because they have enzymes in those natural foods that help break down the sugars and help break down the food, and it digests normally. But if you hit your body with pure, refined white sugar, it has a very serious and harsh effect on the body. Now, I say all that to say this. A major European study has found that people with high blood sugar, whether they are diabetics or not, but particularly if they're diabetics, if they eat too much sugary food, then it raises the blood sugar, and it causes the blood sugar to be raised in the pancreas, skin, womb, and urinary tract of women and causes cancers in those areas. Diabetes experts said that more evidence was needed to confirm the link. However, the study comes as other work in high-fat diet leads to increased breast cancer risk. That link was demonstrated. In this study, carried out by a team at the University of Umeå, high blood sugar was also linked to breast cancer risk for women under 49. Overall, the research found that women in the top 25% range of blood sugar readings after fasting had a 26% higher chance of developing cancer than those in the bottom quarter. Pretty amazing statistic when you think about it. The top 25% in terms of blood sugar readings had a 26% higher chance of developing cancer. Okay, the association of hyperglycemia, increased blood sugar, with total cancer risk in women and in women and men combined for several cancer sites, independent of obesity, whether you're overweight or not, it wasn't dependent on that. It was dependent only on blood sugar, provides further evidence of the association between abnormal glucose metabolism and cancer. So, amazing finding that high sugar intake is linked to cancer. So, you know, I know we didn't cover as many natural health issues per se in terms of that kind of information this week because we had so much to talk about with regard to health freedom, but it's information you need to hear. So I wanted to get it to you. So remember, until next week, you are the person most responsible for your personal health.